Amen. Thank you so much. What a blessing. And good to have you here. Appreciate the music and all that has happened thus far. In Amos chapter 4, I think it starts off pretty interesting. Verse 6, he says, I've given you cleanness of teeth. Now, he's not promoting a dentist or anyone quite like that. In fact, the cleanness of teeth here is not a good thing. The cleanness of teeth. What is one guaranteed way of keeping your teeth clean? Don't eat. And that's what he's talking about. They have cleanness of teeth because there was no eating. There was nothing to eat. But I call your attention to several verses here. Verse 6, it says, yet have ye not returned unto me. Verse 8, yet have ye not returned unto me. All these things God did, and yet have ye not returned unto me. Verse 9, blasting and mildew, in other words, the crops, the trees, the fig trees, all of that, they were destroyed. The palmer worm devoured them, yet have ye not returned unto me. They've been attacked, they've been in battle, slain with a sword, yet have ye not returned unto me. He's overthrown them as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, yet have ye not returned unto me. And all the way through this passage, yet have ye not returned unto me. That is going to be a message very, very soon, but that is not the message this morning. The message is found in verse 12, in a verse that I use often. He says, prepare to meet thy God. O Israel, prepare to meet thy God. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching, that you will speak to our hearts, help us to realize that our meeting you could be very, very soon. And Lord, for some it will be in death, for others it may be the rapture. It could be soon, could be today. But I pray we'd be prepared to meet you. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we need through your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, over and over, he tells of how he's tried to get their attention. Very, very clearly, God has done everything he can to get these people's attention. Now, I believe God's doing that right here. I believe God has done that in people's lives right here. He wants your attention. Why? Because he wants you to get prepared. Something is going to happen. There's no question about that. I mean, one of these days, you are going to have to stand before God. One of these days, you are going to have to answer to God for your life, and you are going to have to stand before Him. Now, obviously, if you're lost, you'll stand before Him and go to a devil's hell for all eternity. Now, Jesus died on the cross so you could be saved, so you wouldn't have to go there. But everybody is going to have to stand before Him, prepare to meet thy God. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And everybody dies. We've not figured out a way yet to keep people from dying. You know, all the medical advancements and everything else, people do die. And they still die. I was reading the paper, and there were names in the obituary. People are still dying. And people all over the world are dying. And you say, hey, I came to get encouraged and everything. Well, and it can be encouraging, and certainly the message should be encouraging. But it is a warning. It is, prepare to meet thy God. You say, I don't believe in God. Well, you're going to meet him someday. You say, well, I don't agree with all that, but you're still going to meet him. It doesn't change the fact that there really is a God, and he's a God that you will stand before someday. And actually, the Bible says every knee shall bow, so you won't stand long. Prepare to meet thy God. And the truth of the matter is, time, it just goes so fast. It amazes me how fast it goes. And I'm one of these that would like to have 36 hours in a day, but then we wouldn't have enough time for that either. And it just wouldn't work out. So I guess it's fine the way it is. But I mean, you think about it, 2008 is mostly over. I mean, you know, it just seems like it was yesterday and we were celebrating 2008. Seems like yesterday and we were worried about Y2K. Well, we weren't worried about it, but some of you might have been. I mean, it just seems like it wasn't that long ago, and folks were storing up their water and all that, you know, concerned that when the year 2000 came, all the lights would go off and we'd be in chaos and everything else. And you know, it won't be long. It'll be 2009. Won't be long. It'll be 2010. And I remember as a young person, I remember talking about, the 2000s. That's spooky. You remember? I remember watching the cartoon, The Jetsons. and you know, watching some of the things that they would do, and the being able to talk on little scanner telephones, and people having little cell phones, and we laughed about that and everything. Oh, that'd take a long cord to have to. Yeah, and we're doing all that stuff. Isn't that, it's weird. And everything's just going so fast. I mean, it is amazing. But again, it means, as time goes on, it means it's getting closer to that time when you will stand before God Almighty. It is getting closer to that time when I will stand before God Almighty. Lord willing, I'll turn 51 next year. That's hard for me to even imagine. But I remember thinking 40 was old. I remember as a younger, like our teenagers here. I mean, you look, you say, wow, you know, oh boy, those guys, they're old. They're in their 30s. And I'm looking at a 30-year-old and I'm saying, wow, they're young. I mean, but it just happens so fast. It happens. It's unbelievable. You could clearly remember when your children, you remember changing their diapers and now they're wearing your clothes. I mean, it's hard to believe. You remember when they were in the maternity ward, and you were all excited, and it won't be long, and you'll be with them at the wedding altar. Well, you won't be with them there, but you'll be watching. You taught them how to walk, and now they're helping you walk. You know, I mean, it just happens so fast. And again, that's what God is saying. He's saying, "Hey, look, it is going to happen someday. You need to prepare to meet thy God." Do you understand? The rapture could take place at any time. That's exciting to me. The signs are certainly being fulfilled. We talk about it pretty much every week. And as you watch election years especially, you know, much of the political world is prophesied in the Scripture. The financial world is prophesied in Scripture. The oil is prophesied in Scripture. And we're watching all that take place. We're watching people become popular as the Antichrist will become popular one day. Overnight, he will become popular. And he will be a power to be reckoned with overnight. And we're seeing things like that happen today. And it's exciting. You know, life is actually very short. In fact, the Bible says life is but a vapor. I mean, it is so short. It's just, it's like a vapor that is here and it just vanishes. And that's the way it is. I can clearly remember different tests that I've had, and heart tests and different things like that. And in these tests, you know, they'll let you, I mean, it's amazing what all you can watch. But I remember one test. I don't remember exactly what all they did, but I remember being able to see my heart valve, the valves in my heart, and they're little wiggly things. And those little wiggly things are doing their thing at just the right time. One of them's opening when another one's closing, and another one opened, and they're doing that. And back, and I'm watching those, and I'm thinking, those little wiggly things are keeping me alive. You know, I thank God for those little, and they're just little wiggly things, you know, and they're little valves, and they're doing their thing. And they just keep doing that. And they've been doing it now for over 50 years. Amen. You know, and you think about that, and it could be over just like that for anybody in this room. And that's why God says, prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Do you know, every time you have a surgery, you have to sign a paper where you are recognizing, I could die. I know you don't read it. You don't want to know. But I've been to many surgeries, been to my own surgeries. It's hard not to have a surgery and not be there. But if I could, that's the way I would have my surgeries, believe me. But I mean, every time. I mean, you know, they sign, they say, well, you know, it's a rare thing that anybody would die, but you could die. I could die? Yeah, you could die on the table. I could die on the table? Yeah. And you need to sign that you recognize that. I need to sign. You could kill me, and I'm not killing you, but you could die. Well, if you're doing the surgery, you're killing me. Aren't you the one doing the surgery, and you're killing? I'm going to sign it's okay for you to kill me? Sir, if you don't sign, you can't have the surgery. All right, and we sign. But like that, it could be over. I mean, just like that. And you could be in eternity. That's why God says, prepare to meet thy God. Because any time, it could be that time. Oh, you say, you don't have to worry about it. I'm only 14 years old. I mean, what have you done with those 14 years? Are you prepared? I've known 14-year-olds to die. I preached a funeral for a young man, 14 years old. He died of cancer, 14 years old. I was with him when he died, and it's just like everybody else that dies. Doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, prepare to meet thy God. I'm asking, what have you done with your 14 years? You say, well, I'm 31. What have you done with those years? Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And he's, you know, they're passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. That's how time goes. That's how your days are going. And every tick of the clock gets you closer to the day that God is saying, prepare. You need to get prepared for. Prepare to meet thy God. And, amazing. I mean, you were a baby, then you were in elementary school, then you were in junior high, then you were in high school, then you were in college, and next thing you know, you're married, you're having children, then you're a grandparent, then you're a great-grandparent, and just like the eagle going after his prey, I mean, it's not long, and time's up. And that's why God says prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Job 14. And verse 1 says, man that is born of a woman is of few days. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, 70, which is 70 years. That's not very long. And for many of us, that time's getting close. Some of you are past that, amen. Glory to God. And again, the whole idea is prepare to meet thy God, because that day is going to come. And I understand in the context, God said, hey, I've tried to get your attention. I've tried. I've sent famine. I've sent the enemy. I've sent all these things. And you just haven't listened. I just wonder, are you listening today? Prepare to meet thy God. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. But at any rate, someday that day will come. Yesterday you were an infant. Tomorrow you'll be a senior citizen. And it happens so fast. So fast. Prepare. You know, it's interesting. We prepare for everything else. We even prepare for this in a secular way. I mean, we prepare for that. We buy life insurance, which is a ripoff. I mean, if you really think about it. And it shouldn't be called life insurance. It should be called death insurance. Right, because it insures you when you die. But you don't get it. Hello? I mean, you don't get any of it, because the only way to get it is you have to die. The only way you could get it is if you have one of those little drawers in your coffin. I was amazed the first time I saw a casket with a little drawer in it. And I'm serious about that thing. They really have them. And they had all these little precious things and everything inside. And I'm just wondering, they think that guy's going to get in there and get them sometime? It bothers me. It really does. But I mean, maybe I'll have something like that. Bren, you think about it. And Dave says yes, and Bren says no. Bren doesn't want to spend the money. I know how she's thinking. Dave, I'm surprised. That's usually how you think. But life insurance, we prepare. What are we doing when we say, okay, I want life insurance? Okay, we're saying, I want insurance for when I die, then this will pay for all the bills and everything else, or maybe the funeral, whatever. And that's why I'm getting life insurance, because I recognize I'm going to die. Why is it we don't really think about that? We buy life insurance, but we don't think about preparing to meet God. Because that's what happens. If you die, that's what's going to happen. Somewhere along the line there, you're going to meet God. Somewhere along the line, you're going to answer for your life. Prepare to meet thy God. We buy auto insurance because we're preparing for a car wreck. That's why you have auto insurance, right? We buy health insurance because we're preparing to get sick. Amen. By the way, you buy plots. In a cemetery, my wife and I, we've got our plots now. We don't know where they are. We just know we have plots. And we got to go pick them out. We need to do that. So, you know, have a nice romantic time of picking out plots. I mean, Bren doesn't ask for much, but she said one thing. She said, honey, I want to be by a tree. I'm thinking, who cares what you're by? Yeah, it's like having the drawer. Mine will have a saw in it in case the branches get too big. But We do all that. Some folks plan their funeral. You paid for your, all those different things. I know one person got their tombstone and put their address on the tombstone of their house, put the tombstone out in front of their house as a... Yeah, you like that idea, don't you? It's very practical, I think. I'm thinking about doing that. But anyway, we do all of that in preparation for something we don't like. And yet we come to church and the preacher says, hey, God says, prepare to meet thy God. And we all, I don't want to hear about that stuff. all this preparation. I mean, that, you know, we have many, many students. Many young people, 28 young people from our church are in college today. Not today, they're in church, hopefully, but they're going to college. Some Bible college, some other colleges around here, and 28 young people. We have many students from Adrian College here today, and many that have been visiting. What are they're preparing for the future? They're preparing to as they get older. They're preparing for their vocation, preparing to do whatever it is they're supposed to do with their life, and they're making all kinds of preparation. They'll spend hundreds. That's funny, isn't it? They'll spend thousands of dollars to prepare for their life here on this earth, which maybe will be 70 years. It's not really that long, and yet for all eternity, we're not even prepared for that. We live so recklessly our lives that in reference to eternity, meeting God, it's amazing. Psalm 90, verse 9, we spend our years as a tale that is told. It's like telling a story. And that's our years. That's my whole life. Wow. And God says, prepare to meet thy God. James said in James chapter 4 when he talks about how life is a vapor, he says, what is your life? And that's a good question. What is your life? Well, preacher, I'm just a young person. What have you done with your life? What have you done so far? All right, you're 50. What have you done with 50 years? All right, you're 30. What have you done with 30 years? Well, let me just try to help you to prepare, all right, and give you some things. Number one, prepare for eternity. Prepare for eternity. We prepare for life. We prepare for tomorrow. I mean, you're prepared for tomorrow, perhaps. Hopefully, people in school are prepared for that test that you're going to get tomorrow. Amen. You should be. But we prepare for all these different things, but we're not even thinking about eternity. You need to think about eternity. I understand it's not the most popular thing. I understand it's not, oh, fun and games and you know, boy, I just feel so good about all this. But the truth of the matter is, if we're not prepared for eternity, then we're not prepared for something that is the longest part of our life that ever will be. It's forever. Prepare for eternity. Prepare to meet thy God. Someone said this, life is the introduction, eternity is the book. Sounds good. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? You see, Jesus died on the cross so you could spend eternity in heaven. Nobody has to go to hell. Nobody has to burn in the flames. Every now and then somebody will get real nasty. Well, you know, if God really loved people, he wouldn't have made hell. God made a way so people wouldn't have to go to hell. God sent his own son to die on a cross so people could get saved and they wouldn't have to go to hell. To call upon Jesus, to trust Jesus as Savior, might take 30 seconds to 1 minute for you to get on your knees and say, oh God, I've sinned against you. I deserve to be punished in hell. I deserve what you call a place called hell. But I'm asking you to come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. And I'm asking you to save me. That might take you 30 seconds, maybe a minute of all your life. To trust Christ as your Savior. And that affects your whole eternity. Isn't that amazing? You say, oh, preacher, it's too easy. Then do it. I remember, and this has happened many times, but I remember the gang members I was talking to in Flint, Michigan. And one of the gangs, you know, they were all over our area where our church was. And because we were right there in town on Roosevelt Street. And these gang guys, they were out there, you know, and we were out soul winning, and these guys came up, you know, and they were talking all mean and everything, and I talked to them about getting saved, and I said, all you have to do is call upon Jesus, trust him as your Savior. And one of the guys said, hey, that's too easy. I said, do it. Well, I said, you're the one that says it's easy, do it. Well, it is easy. I mean, it shouldn't be that easy. I said, no, it shouldn't be that easy, but it is, isn't it? Now, if it's so easy, do it. And you know, that guy walked away lost. He refused to do it. But again, it's recognizing that we're sinners and recognizing we need a Savior. And that's what's so tough for us, you know? And that's why we want to dodge that question. We want to try to avoid it. You go soul winning. You would think people would be thrilled when you knock on their door. You would think people would be absolutely ecstatic. Wow, you care about my soul? You're not here to get money. You're not here to sell something. You're not here to sell Price Saver cards. I mean, you're here simply to tell me how I can go to heaven? You'd think everybody would be excited about that. But they're not. You know, most of the time, when you knock on somebody's door, many times, people they'll look at you and say, I'm not interested. Wham! Try to hand them a gospel tract, you might get your hand chopped off. Amen. You know, I mean, you get your hand inside the door, they may slam the door on it. I'm just saying, you would think, but what is the problem? Prepare to meet thy God. I don't want to talk about it. I've had people say, I've had them say, well, you know, I that's between me and God. Great. Get it settled between you and God. I'm just trying to tell you how to get it settled between you and God. I'm not trying to get in your business. Let me just take a minute and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Prepare for eternity. Amen. It might take 30 seconds or so. It might take a minute for you to call upon Jesus. You know, there's folks in this room, I can about guarantee it's been 30 years you've spent without Him so far. There's folks in this room, probably some, it's been 18, 19, 20 years you've been without Jesus. For some, maybe 40 years, maybe 50 years you've been without Jesus. Maybe you've been 14 years, your whole life without Jesus. You know, you need to understand, God didn't make you to make big money. Now, it's not necessarily wrong to make big money, but I'm just saying that isn't why God made you. God made you for Himself. And He made a way so that you could be saved. If you're not saved today, you are not prepared. You are not prepared to meet Him. God did not make you to have fun. It's not wrong to have fun. But that's not your purpose in life. It's time to come face to face with the fact of you're going to die someday. Are you ready to face Jesus? God didn't make you to be famous. Now, if you are famous, that's fine. But that isn't your purpose in life. Your purpose in life, God made you for Himself. And God made a way so you could be saved, so you could become one of His children. You have just so many days to get ready. So many days. We prepare for so many things. And we don't think eternity is important. It is important. It is important. It would only take a short time. We'll give an invitation in just a few minutes. We'll give an invitation. All you would need to do is come. Let someone take a Bible. Show you how to be saved and go to heaven. It would take that short of amount of time for you to get saved. You don't even have to come in the invitation. I got saved by kneeling at my bed in my home after somebody showed me how to be saved. Do you understand? I mean, it's not something that is going to take forever. But you know, there is an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die. And that's why God says prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. My best friend, we left. He was in church on Sunday morning. We had a wonderful service on Sunday morning. He was my assistant pastor, also drove a bus, was in a bus route, bus ministry, soul winner, good guy. We had our Sunday morning service that afternoon. They went to somebody's house to eat that evening. We had our evening service. He came forward in the service. He knelt. I preached about being a servant, and he was a great, great servant of God. He knelt at the altar. I remember him weeping at the altar that night, sobbing. Big guy. Weighed, who knows, 300 pounds or so. Big guy. And he was right here at the altar. He was weeping. He was sobbing. That night, he and his wife went to somebody's house after the service, and I believe they went to eat pie or something like that after the service, and they were driving home. They lived right next door to the church. They drove, and right in front of the church, somebody fell asleep at the wheel, hit him head on, killed him instantly. He was 30 years old. Instantly. He had no idea. Service just like this in the morning. Service just like we'll have tonight. He had no idea. That morning, he had no idea that the next day he would be in eternity. That night, as he knelt at that altar weeping, he had no idea. As he surrendered to make the decision God laid on his own, he had no idea that in just a few short hours he would be in eternity. He had no idea of that. And I'm telling you, folks, you don't know. Boast not thyself. Oh, you say, I've got tomorrow. You don't know that you have tomorrow. Prepare to meet thy God. You say, you're just trying to scare me. No, I'm just trying to bring you to reality. God, with Israel here, God did everything to get their attention, and they would not pay attention. They wouldn't listen. God sent famine. God sent the enemy. God destroyed the trees. The palmer worm ate everything. He overthrew them. And they just wouldn't listen. He said, okay, prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare, number one, prepare for eternity. Number two, prepare for heaven. Years ago, I preached a message. I love the truth in the scripture, in earth as it is in heaven. And the idea is to live your life here on earth like you're going to live in heaven. Get ready for it. Get prepared. Prepare for heaven. You know, for many, it'll be culture shock, honestly. Some of you, it's going to be culture shock in heaven because you're so used to non-heavenly type activities. Amen. I mean, for some folks, it's not going to be a lot of change. I'd like to think in my life, much of my life would not change. I read my Bible. I'll read my Bible in heaven. I talk to Jesus. I'm going to talk to Jesus in heaven. You know, I try to rejoice and praise the Lord, and we're going to be doing a whole lot of that in heaven. You know, some of you aren't going to really like it at first. Amen. Some of you don't like, you don't even like Sunday evening service or Sunday morning service and Wednesday night service. I'm going to go, but I really don't like. Do you understand? You're going to feel kind of strange in heaven. It's going to be a little odd to you in heaven, honestly. There won't be any griping and complaining in heaven. Amen. And some of you are going to feel a little odd not doing that. There won't be any name calling in heaven. And some of you are going to really feel strange not calling anybody a name because that's how you live. Amen. Heaven. Boy, it's going to be exciting. Prepare for heaven. You know, in heaven, Zach, you're going to be able to dunk. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's hard to imagine. Josh Rincon's going to be able to make a shot. I mean, praise God. I'm going to be able to run. Amen. I'm excited about that thought. You know, without an asthma spray in my hand, trying to breathe. I mean, boy, it's going to be exciting. But you know, prepare for heaven. Live a heavenly kind of a life. So that to me, that's preparing. Amen. You folks that are real worldly and you act like the world and all that, you're going to feel a little awkward in heaven if you're saved. If you're not saved, you're not going to go to heaven. But if you're saved and you're a Christian, but you live kind of worldly, you're going to feel a little strange. Some of you folks don't even ever smile. You know, getting to heaven, you're going to have to do exercises just to get yourself able to smile. First time you smile, you probably will get a cramp. You know, you're going to have to try to fix that thing. It's going to be tough on you. I'm telling you, heaven's a place of rejoicing. I can't even imagine. And we're talking about a place with streets of gold. You know, you're going to have to get used to not caring about gold because you're going to keep breaking up the street in front of your house, trying to take it all in. You won't need to do that. There's plenty of gold there. Uh-huh. I mean, Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You suppose there'll be some T-bone steaks in heaven? Amen. I mean, some of you ought to get used to what it's like in heaven. Well, you know, some folks, it's never, nothing's good, ever. How's it going? Terrible. What's wrong? The weather. What's wrong with the weather? Raining. But if it's not raining, too dry. I mean, there are people like that all the time. How you feeling? Terrible. I mean, some folks, I don't even ask how they're feeling because I don't have time. Huh? But in heaven, there's going to be lots of praising. Oh, there's going to be lots of praising. Lots of praising God. And you won't have to worry about what everybody's, if they're laughing about you, making fun of you, whatever. You just praise the Lord. Everybody praise God. In fact, those that don't praise God, you're going to be the oddball. You know, you're going to have to take lessons on how to praise the Lord. Okay, say this. Praise the Lord. It's going to be tough at first, but it'll come. And those of you that don't, you never say amen. I mean, honestly, you're going to have to practice. Amen. Huh? We're going to be praising God in heaven. We're going to be shouting for Jesus in heaven. You know, you're used to shouting for somebody because he can throw a football, you know, or he can kick a football. You're used to shouting for people that God gave them certain physical abilities to do some things. Otherwise, you wouldn't even care about them. Hello. By the way, they don't care about you. All my teams lost yesterday. All of them. Last week, all my teams won on Saturday. Now, you know, all my teams lost, and I go to bed thinking, they don't care about me. They don't even know I exist. Do you realize that? They don't care. And in heaven, you know, we're going to be shouting for Jesus and praising God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you are going to, you're going to have a hard time at first because I don't smile. I don't laugh. I'm serious. You're going to have a hard time. I'm telling you, there's going to be lots of smiling. There's going to be lots of kindness in heaven. You're going to have to be kind. Isn't that great? Huh? You're going to have to be kind. You know that person that you don't get along with? Should I say those people you don't get along with? Do you understand? You probably don't get along with a whole lot of people. If you don't get along with anybody, you think you get along with those that you're getting along with, but really you're not getting along with them because it won't be long and you won't be getting along with them because that's how it goes, especially when you're in junior high. Hello? How it is. I know what I'm talking about. I was in junior high. I don't remember much of it. Anyway, but there's going to be a lot of kindness and there's going to be a lot of positive in heaven. See, why don't you start living like that? Because that's coming. Prepare to meet thy God. I remember when my wife and I went to Australia, we had to learn some of the customs and some of the words you don't say. We had to. I mean, there's certain words that there, if you say them, it's not a good thing. And I'm not going to say them. No, I'm not. But I'm thinking of something right now that we said in the restaurant. It was hilarious. But anyway, you know, you because you're going there, you need to prepare for that atmosphere. Okay, do you understand? Someday you're going to go to heaven, you're going to be there for all eternity, and you're going to feel kind of strange. I'm going to just walk right in. Because I got my King James Bible with me most of the time anyway. And you know, I'm very used to it. And I'm very aware of it. And I'm very used to talking to God throughout the day. You know, I'm very used to singing Christian songs. Amen. I mean, I'm very used to singing about Jesus and talking about Jesus and rejoicing for what He's done and all that. And I'll just keep right on doing that when I die, I think. Hey, are you prepared? Isn't it amazing how such a short amount of time we spend here compared to eternity in heaven? And we're so concerned about here. Isn't that amazing? You're so worried about what people think. So worried about, you know, peer pressure and, oh, you know, what are my friends going to... If they're really friends, who cares what they think? They're going to like you no matter what, if they're really friends, you know? It's amazing. And we don't even consider eternity. You know, I'm going to a place where the streets are gold. The gates are made out of pearl. So rings and diamonds, none of that really matters there. It's no big deal. Money doesn't really matter there. Do you understand? It's nothing. And I'm going to live in a mansion there. Huh? You might as well. By the way, I'm a child of the King. Might as well start living like royalty. Amen? Huh? A child of the King. And you know... But we don't even think about that. We're so worldly. Some of you are going to feel very, very awkward. Prepare for eternity, number one. Prepare for heaven, number two. And then the last thing, number three, is prepare others for heaven. That's what we ought to do. Prepare to meet thy God. I would hate to stand before God having never told anybody how they too could go to heaven. Huh? I only have my life to do something. I don't have anybody else's life. I just have my time. I don't know how many years it's going to be. I know it's at least 50. I do know that. Is it 51? Don't know. Might not be. But I'm just saying, I'd like to help prepare others for heaven. By the way, that is the most unselfish thing you can do is think about others. It's what we should be doing. preparing them for heaven. Yesterday, before soul winning, I preached on Romans 10 and verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And I was so burdened. So many people are lost on their way to hell. But you know, so many Christians' lives are a mess too. And it breaks my heart. It really does. You're so far away from a heavenly life like God wants you to have right here on earth. Read about Paul and how Paul actually described his life as heaven in the heavenlies. I mean, his life was, he was walking with God and so close to God that I mean, you talk about abundant life, that's what Paul had. An abundant life, a life that was just like he was living right here on this earth, just like he would in heaven. Prepare others for heaven. Prepare to meet thy God. Soul winning, bus ministry, Sunday school, shepherd's ministry. Tell people how to get saved. Teach them about Jesus. Teach them about heaven. Show them what heaven's really like. Show them from the Bible what heaven's going to be like. Help them get prepared for heaven. Sing like we're going to sing in heaven. Amen. Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Doesn't say it has to be perfect. I like it when folks sing and they can't sing. It really doesn't bother me. I'm not talking about rock singers. Most of them can't sing either, but they got so much amplification that it doesn't really matter. Plus, the words don't matter anyway. You can't understand them. But when somebody sings, you walk by people and they're humming a song and it's totally off key, but it's giving praise to God. That's good stuff. Because when you get to heaven, you can sing in the heavenly choir. You can sing all the parts. Amen. All at the same time, probably. I don't know how, but that sounds good. You know, it's time we quit thinking about ourselves and start thinking about other people. Prepare others for heaven. Amen. Prepare others. What have you done with your life? What difference have you made with your life? Because as God told Israel here in Amos chapter 4, He tells us, prepare to meet thy God. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You understand? You make $1 million in your lifetime, you don't take any of it with you. Oh, I got this great car. You don't take it with you. Boy, our house is... You can't take it with you. But you know, if you do something for God, you can take that with you. If you tell somebody about Jesus, get them saved, you can take that with you. I would say prepare. Prepare others for heaven. So as I look at the passage again this morning, I think, you know, we're prepared for so many things, but are you prepared for eternity? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Are you going to heaven when you die? If you cannot answer that question, yes, I am, I know I'm going to heaven, then you ought to get saved this morning and start preparing for that day. Hey, Christian, are you prepared for heaven? In other words, are you living a life here on this earth that's how you're going to live in heaven? Oh, you say, well, we're going to sit up on a cloud and play the harp. I'm not. I'm going to be busy in heaven. Amen. I'm going to be serving God in heaven, having a good time in heaven. Amen? Is that your life? Do you rejoice? Do you praise the Lord? Do you sing the songs of Zion? Or do you gripe and complain and everything? You're going to feel a little awkward. It might take you a little while. Amen. Prepare others for heaven. When's the last time you told somebody how to be saved? When is the last time you handed out a gospel tract? When is the last time you had any part in somebody coming to church or visiting or hearing about Jesus or anything like that? When is the last time? And you're saved. You're a Christian. You say you care. But do you really? If you can't help prepare others for heaven. Let's all bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.